It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk to a UW professor who's leaving the state and says the state government has put the system in an unsustainable budget crunch. First, voters in Oregon and Kentucky were the latest to cast their ballots in primary elections. Hillary Clinton won a close race in Kentucky, Bernie Sanders won in Oregon, and Trump won in Oregon. Donald Trump, with almost no competition, of course, as he falls into the role of the presumptive GOP nominee. But things are still messy on the Democratic side, as we saw this week at the Nevada Democratic Convention in Las Vegas. Joining us now to talk about that and the latest news from the American political scene is Harry Enten. He's a senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, when the historians of the future, Harry, look back for the pivot point, the turning point in election 2016, probably won't be yesterday, will it? It wasn't not a lot at stake this time.
I would say they would not be looking back. Look, the Democratic race continues on, and it's following the same demographic patterns. I mean, I produced a piece on Tuesday morning, which basically tried to predict the outcomes in Oregon and in Kentucky based solely on the demographics, and they both came within 3 percentage points. That's how steady this race is. It's, you know, Bernie Sanders obviously won in Oregon, and Hillary Clinton barely won in Kentucky. Bernie Sanders picked up, I think, net maybe 9 delegates or 8 delegates, but Hillary Clinton has a substantial elected delegate lead, and the networks, when you combine her elected delegate lead along with the superdelegate edge that she has, will likely to declare her the presumptive nominee early on June 7th, even before the polls in California close.
So Oregon, the kind of state that Bernie Sanders has been winning, and Kentucky, the kind of state that Hillary Clinton has been likely to win. Is that right?
Yeah, essentially right. Look just north of the border of Oregon to Washington. There was a caucus there a few months ago, and Bernie Sanders won that caucus by 45 percentage points. Now, Oregon was a primary, and it was closed off to independent voters, so you expected his margin to be somewhat smaller in Oregon than it was in Washington. But again, it was projected and thought that Bernie Sanders would do well, as he did.
So Sanders didn't win outright in Kentucky. He did get some delegates in the state, but stack up his gains against what he would need to do to somehow win this thing.
You know, essentially, when you look at all the states and what he would need is I think if you include the superdelegates and the delegates, I believe Hillary Clinton needs to win 10% of the remaining delegates that are out there, while Bernie Sanders would need to win about 90% of the delegates remaining. I hate to break it to the Bernie Sanders fans. While he could potentially overperform or outperform what we expect in the latter states, the idea that he could somehow win 90% of the remaining delegates is just not really plausible or feasible.
You're not too excited on his behalf, but he was pretty excited about how it all came out. Here he is talking about Kentucky.
In a closed primary, something I am not all that enthusiastic about, where independents are not allowed to vote. Where Secretary Clinton defeated Barack Obama by 250,000 votes in 2008, it appears tonight that we're going to end up with about half of the delegates from Kentucky.
And Harry, in a chat at 538 recently, you talked about some of the reasons Bernie Sanders isn't giving in to pressure to drop out. He's had a lot of wins, a lot of positive signs, and a lot of, even when he's losing, in this case, a pretty close loss. So even though it's a very unlikely win for him when it comes down to it, it doesn't seem like he's getting ready to drop out anytime soon.
No, there is absolutely no sign that Bernie Sanders is going to drop out, and I doubt he drops out even when the networks declare that Clinton's the presumptive nominee. Look, Bernie Sanders is winning a little bit north of 40% of the national primary vote. That's very good. There's clearly a base for him within the Democratic Party, or at least among that electorate. But at the end of the day, there are simply more people who are with Hillary Clinton than who are with Bernie Sanders, and I'm not so sure he quite gets that or some of his supporters get that. I mean, it's close, don't get me wrong, but it's really not that close. It's not like it's tooth and nail. Hillary Clinton has basically, I believe, it's about 3 times the lead in terms of elected delegates than Barack Obama did at this point in 2008. So she's clearly ahead. But Sanders wins enough times that he's able to keep going and say, hey, I have a reason to stay in this race.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538.com about the latest in the presidential primaries, the race for president. We'll get into the general election and the impact of a sustained Democratic campaign in a few. Want to turn to the Republican side for a bit, though, Harry. Donald Trump, obviously no surprise. He's the only official candidate now. So he won. Not a big win, given that. Ted Cruz, John Kasich still getting some votes in Oregon, enough to see it as any kind of protest against Donald Trump?
Maybe. Keep in mind, of course, that they, you know, have a mail-in vote in Oregon, so some of those votes were cast earlier before Republicans really coalesced around Donald Trump, so I wouldn't read necessarily too much into it. But, you know, if you look at the Nebraska results last week as well, Trump was also stuck in the 60s in terms of his support. So, yeah, I'd say that there is some protest vote that's going on. Some people who clearly want to say that they're not with Donald Trump or not with them that vigorously. But at the end of the day, when you look at the general election polls, you see this and recognize it as more of a protest vote, a chance to basically voice their displeasure with Trump. But most of these Republicans who are even voting against him in the primary right now are probably going to end up voting for him in the fall.
And as he goes toward that magic number that we used to talk about so much, I forget, now 1237, was that the delegate count?
1237, a beautiful, beautiful number.
Yeah, so he's going to get there, no problem. And he's kind of been on a goodwill tour lately, right? Meeting with our own, Wisconsin's own Paul Ryan last week, meeting with his one-time nemesis, Megyn Kelly from Fox News this week. Do you see, apart from the numbers, do you see a sign that the Republican establishment and its media allies are gonna back Trump?
Yeah, I think that, you know, most of the people are getting on board. I'd add Rick Perry, who, although he might not be in control of anything right now, had been one of the most vocal anti-Trumpers during the primary. You see the Republican State Party in Nebraska basically punish anybody who comes out against Trump. And remember Ben Sasse, who's been one of the most vocal anti-Trump people, the senator from Nebraska. You know, they basically said, don't you dare, you know, criticize him or think about running third party. So, yes, there's definitely been some rallying around the flag with Donald Trump. But the question at the end of the day isn't whether he gets 85% of the Republican vote. He almost certainly will. It's whether he gets 85, 90, or what he'd likely need to win in the general election, about 95% of the Republican vote. We don't know the answer to that yet.
And how about the whole independent question, or Trump has been saying, hey, I'm going to win Democrats. I'm going to take Democrats away from the Democratic Party. Any indication in the polling and the numbers that that might be a possibility?
Not yet. You know, we see, you know, basically Hillary Clinton getting the same percentage of self-identified Democrats as Donald Trump is getting among self-identified Republicans. But, you know, on terms of the independents, you know, that depends exactly on the poll and how they exactly ask it. But I'd also point out, in terms of an independent run, you know, a conservative third-party challenger, there's some movement, but not really much of anything. It all seems to be kind of burning out.
Right. It would be not impossible, but a tall order to get on ballots everywhere in the country at this point, as I understand it.
Yes, it would be very difficult. But my guess is if there was going to be a third party run or an independent run, they'd probably concentrate in a few states. You know, Trump was did very poorly in the plains and into the interior west. And that's where my guess of where that type of challenge would take place. But so far, there haven't been any takers.
Any indication in the numbers that people who aren't happy with Donald Trump might go toward an existing party, like, say, the Libertarian Party? And maybe the same question, if people aren't happy with an eventual Hillary Clinton run, that the Green Party might get some of the benefits.
So one of the things that's been very interesting in looking at the polls is that there's a much higher percentage of people saying that they're undecided right now than in past years. So right now, a little less than 20% of voters say they're undecided. It's usually about 10% at this point. So that may be an indication that people really are afraid to either vote for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And it could be a sign that as we head closer to the general and people are really starting to concentrate on who they're going to pick, that you could see the Green Party or you could see the Libertarian Party do better than usual.
We're checking in on the latest election news with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. And you can join in. What do you think of the election so far? Are you getting behind Trump 2016, behind Clinton 2016, holding out for Bernie Sanders? And what do you make of, and we'll get into this, the conflict within the Democratic Party going on right now? We'll talk about Nevada and elsewhere in just a bit. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, talk@WPR.org. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're talking about the ongoing 2016 presidential election. Voters in Kentucky and Oregon went to the polls yesterday to cast their ballots. Clinton, Sanders split the states, close in Kentucky, a little less close in Oregon. Didn't make much difference for the overall delegate count, though. Things got heated between Sanders supporters and the Nevada Democratic Party in Las Vegas this week. And we want to get your take on the election and the state of American politics. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you make of the ongoing Democratic campaign? If you're on the Republican side, are you happy that your party settled on Donald Trump? What does he need to do next? On the Democratic side, are you hoping that Bernie Sanders stays in all the way, or are you thinking now is the time to drop out? How will that affect the general election in November? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Harry, want to talk some about conflict within the Democratic Party. Now, here's some audio of Bernie Sanders supporters booing during a speech given by a Hillary Clinton surrogate, California Senator Barbara Boxer. Harry, a few months ago, not all that long ago, if we'd said, hey, one of these two parties is going to have some really ugly developments late in the race, we probably would have thought it would have been the Republican side, Donald Trump against whoever was left. Here we are. It's the Democratic side. What do you make of this heated thing, Bernie Sanders supporters and the Clinton campaign?
You know, I guess in the year of the unexpected, this should not be too much of a surprise, right? Look, let's see where we are after Clinton clinches the nomination, as we expect her to do, and see what Bernie Sanders says then. But I think that this comes back to a larger point. When you have a candidate who is saying that the system is rigged over and over and over again, now Bernie Sanders and his campaign have said that we do not condone and we do not want this, you know, very, let's say, coarse or uncouth type of discussion, and they do not like violent threats, which were certainly made by some supporters of Bernie Sanders towards people within the Nevada Democratic Party. But when you say stuff like the system is rigged, eventually it's going to boil over. People are not going to be able to settle and say, oh, okay, it was a fair fight and we lost. If they think the game is rigged, then it could be a very big problem for Hillary Clinton heading into the general election, because she does need Bernie Sanders voters in order to beat Donald Trump. If, let's say, a good portion of the Bernie Sanders supporters right now decide to stay home or vote for Trump, Hillary Clinton's done. But let's wait a few weeks and see where we are. Remember, 2008 was a very, very tough fight to the end between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and eventually Clinton came around and gave her vocal support for Barack Obama. If Bernie Sanders does the same with Clinton, it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, there were 8 years ago, there was talk that a lot of Hillary Clinton supporters would absolutely not vote for Barack Obama. I think the numbers indicate that many of them did. You think that the same thing, a similar thing could happen this time around, again, given that this is the year of the unexpected?
Right. I mean, who knows exactly? I would expect that most of the Bernie Sanders supporters get behind Hillary Clinton. But one of the key differences between Hillary Clinton supporters and from 2008 and Bernie Sanders supporters in 2016 is a lot of the Hillary Clinton supporters were lifelong Democrats, people who had a real stake within the Democratic Party. And Hillary Clinton herself was a lifelong Democrat. Fast forward 8 years to now, what you have are a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters who identify themselves as independent, don't necessarily feel beholden to the Democratic Party. And Bernie Sanders himself has never really been a Democrat, so he has nothing on the Democratic Party has nothing on him. So it could be a different situation, but again, let's wait a month and see where things are.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538.com about the latest in national politics. To your calls now at 800-642-1234, starting with Susan on the line in Madison. Susan, hi.
Hi. I'm a conservative, and I will not be voting for Donald Trump under any circumstances. I considered for a while voting for Hillary, but I just can't in good conscience vote for her. I'm not someone who does this lightly. I would jump on the train for a third-party candidate if someone showed up that offered an alternative to either one of these that I could sign on to.
And, Susan, I want to ask, what is it about Donald Trump that you just, it's a line you won't cross?
Oh, my word. I don't even know where to begin. I find his values reprehensible. He's not a conservative. He just happened to sign up to that brand, and I think tapped into a lot of anger and frustration. And I think he would do great harm to this country.
Susan, thanks a lot for that call. Harry, one of our congressional delegation, Republican Reed Ribble, is in the same boat as Susan. He will not endorse or support Trump. He says he won't vote for him or Hillary Clinton. He's not running for re-election, though. A lot of establishment Republicans seem to be moving in the other direction, seem to be finding ways that they can meet Donald Trump and support him in the race.
Well, that's exactly right. Remember, Donald Trump's supporters still make up, even if he's only won, say, 41 or 42% of the national primary vote, they still make up a substantial portion of the Republican Party right now. So if you want to run again, you don't want to have the Donald Trump voters against you. But I think, you mentioned Reed Ribble. You see it with Mitt Romney. You see it with Jeb Bush. People who don't have a stake in the electoral game are much more likely to go against Trump because they simply don't agree with him, while those who potentially want to run in the future are much less likely to go against Trump for fear of what might happen to them in a primary or even a general election going forward with Trump voters not voting for them.
Might be hard to measure with polls and so forth, but are there a lot of people like Susan out there, people who consider themselves conservatives who would usually be gimme voters for Republicans who are looking for anything else this election?
There is some polling that suggests that a third-party candidate could do well or get, 20%, but it's a hypothetical. Until you attach a name to it, I'm not quite sure I'd run with that polling too much. But keep in mind, one of Trump's weakest groups in the Republican primary was very conservative voters, the true ideologues. They did not trust Trump, and the past caller apparently still doesn't trust Trump. And I'd also add that Wisconsin is a state that Donald Trump has outlined as one of those Midwestern states he'd like to play in, even though it went for Barack Obama twice and went for John Kerry and Al Gore. But if you look at the polling coming out of Wisconsin, that may very well be a tall order for him.
Susan, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Josh in Eau Claire. Josh, hi.
Hi. I am a lifelong Democrat, but this year I've been a big fan of Bernie, and I think myself, along with a lot of others, get frustrated with where it seems like a lot of people are saying it's over for Bernie, where in fact it's really not. I mean, the contested convention's all but guaranteed at this point. I did the math last week, and Bernie only needed 40% of the remaining pledged delegates in order to prevent Hillary from getting enough delegates before the convention to get a Democratic contested convention. And I think that once that happens, the Democratic Party is going to have to sit down and look at what happens if they choose the Hillary candidate over the Bernie candidate. And I think what they'll see is they're going to lose all of the new generation that came into the Democratic Party for Bernie. They're also going to lose all of the independents that have come over to the Democratic side to support Bernie.
So, Josh, is it your hope that the Democratic superdelegates would be the ones who'd have to switch, that they would help overcome that pledged delegate lead that Clinton has?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think what it really comes down to, what it really boils down to, is our best chance to beat Trump on the Democratic side is a Bernie nomination. And I think the party is going to see that at the convention.
Josh, thanks a lot for that call. Harry, what are your numbers on that? What Bernie Sanders would need to do, not to win by the convention, but to prevent a first ballot nomination for Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think, you look right now, the Associated Press, I have it in front of me. They believe, the Associated Press, which is who most people count on for delegate counts and election night counts, have Hillary Clinton 90 delegates short of the necessary 2,383 to win. That obviously does include superdelegates who are not pledged to any particular candidate. But keep in mind, in 2008, with the same situation, the networks declared that Barack Obama was the nominee, the presumptive nominee, even when he did not have enough elected delegates to get a majority of all delegates. Neither Clinton nor Sanders will have that, but there is no reason that these superdelegates are going to be able to come back on their word and vote against the candidate who has the most elected delegates. Now, I understand that there is some electability argument, and there may be something there, but there are a lot of superdelegates, specifically those in the southeastern United States, African Americans, who their voters went very much, very strongly for Hillary Clinton. There's just no way that these superdelegates are going to go against the will of the people unless there is an indictment or something like that. And at this point, it doesn't seem like there's going to be.
Josh, thanks for the call. We go next to Nate in Mesa Mania. Nate, hi.
Hi, thank you. One comment and then a question. I I'm very disappointed in the way that the DNC chair is handling the dispute that occurred over the weekend in Denver, in
Nevada,
because I think it just is putting gasoline on the fire. And I think that's not going to help the Democrats to win in the fall. So that's the comment. Now, my question is, does the guest have any insight into how the business community is going to actually work on behalf of Trump? In that a friend of mine was at a...
Nate, I got to cut you off there because we're really short on time. Harry, quick thoughts on where big donors and the big business world would swing in a Clinton-Trump general election?
They'll mostly swing towards Clinton, but don't be towards Trump, excuse me. But don't be surprised if there's some big money people who withhold from Trump. You could see that in the results in the primary. A place like New York, where there's a lot of big donors, the only county that Donald Trump lost was New York County or Manhattan.
All right, Harry, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us weekly to talk about American politics and, lately, this presidential campaign thing that's going on out there. Coming up after the news, the conflict between UW faculty, administration, and the state government continues. We'll hear from one of the latest professors to leave the state. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.